Blog Talk Radio.
An old Cherokee is teaching his grandson about life. "A fight is going on inside me," he says to the boy. "And it's a terrible fight between two wolves. One wolf is evil. It is angry, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, and ego." He continues, "The other wolf is good. This wolf is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside you and inside every other person too." The grandson, he thought about this for a second, asked his grandfather, "Well, grandfather, which wolf will win?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "It's the wolf you feed."
Yeah.
Good evening. Good afternoon or good morning. It always depends on what part of the world you are listening. Bienvenidos, ¿qué tal? Namaste, okay, and welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show. Coming to you live on Blog Talk Radio, live every Monday and Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. My name is Will Green, holding down one half of the hosting duties, holding down the other half of our hosting duties. We call him the Lions Historian. Some call him Unc, and we've got some other names, but we'll just call him my best friend and my dad, Bill Green. There's plenty of names for both of us, so we'll just keep it simple. What's happening, Daddy-O?
Yeah, keep it simple and keep it clean.
That's
up with Fredo? Hey, man. I mean, man, you're smooth as glass with the intro, man. Wow, it's a pleasure to hear you go, to hear you get going, man. Outstanding. Yeah, so how was the weekend? Good weekend? Yeah,
it was okay. I got, you know, some things accomplished, you know, trying to stay warm. But it was a good weekend.
Yeah. You had some snow up that way, huh?
You got some more coming this week between tonight and all the way through Friday. So fun time in the city.
Wow.
Fun time in the city.
Yeah, well, right on the cusp of February. So, you know, we still got a little more winter to go up there. You know, opening day hasn't happened yet. you got that one storm coming, you know that.
We're getting ready to get hit
down here near the end of the week, Thursday or so. It's supposed to get really frosty with the possibility of, oh my God, snow. You know, but snow here lasts about, you know, a day. Usually, last year it clung for a few days, but usually snow comes in the morning, it's gone by noon. You know, so it's a trip, but I don't know. I was just going to say, I'm not going to keep the banter going because I know we have a lot we want to try to get to tonight. So I just always get charged whenever I hear your intro, man.
Oh yeah, right on. I'm glad you're digging it. Just real quick, just a funny thought when I hear people in Dallas or in Texas talk about snow, or even people in Atlanta, because you know some parts of Georgia would get snow anyway. But it's always funny because I think about how it snows and then it kind of freezes, so everything is slippery. And it's like everybody's trying to get around, and it just reminds me of like dogs that can't get running in the kitchen. You know how they paws just keep slipping on the kitchen floor, just flap 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 flap. Just thinking about those times in Texas and Atlanta dealing with the winter.
Yeah, that's right. I've seen it more than once when I was living in Austin. You know, one snowstorm hit. I mean, all those little portable cameras, those little ones you get 10 shots or something like that, every one was sold out in all of the drug stores and, you know, convenience stores. But if you didn't take a picture before 10 o'clock, you're out of luck. And, of course, you know, I caught just the tail end of it, you know, but, like, it's that the whole city shut down. I mean, it's like, you know, what are we going to do? How have we offended God this time? And I was out in it, you know, and I saw this. I'll never forget this lady. I mean, she just went spinning by me, man, you know, on the highway. And the look on her face, I still see it today. I mean, she went spinning by me, and then, you know, the bride came to a rest, and I went on. Took probably the rest of the day for her to get back out on the highway. But I'll never forget that look, that terror, that deer with his eyes caught in the headlight. Man, you know, it's like poor Texas. And they throw down this red sand-like stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and it takes all the way through the spring to get rid of all that red sand. Anyway, that's all, man. Go ahead, man. Get going, bro. Let me step out the way. Love you, man.
All right. Love you too, Dad. Well, before we get going, as always, we like to remind you all a few things. The first thing is, of course, grab a pen and pad, a pencil and paper, a post-it note, a marker, the back of an envelope. And I got a new one to add, a napkin. I know y'all got some of them napkins maybe from
napkins. Get that, right. Gotta have them napkins, man. It ain't complete without a napkin.
Gotta have a napkin. I know somebody's got a napkin, man. You know, especially those industrial ones from like McDonald's and Wendy's.
Yeah,
and stuff, man.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Gotta have those napkins.
Shout out to Sue and Carlita down in Mexico. They gave me the idea for a napkin. But anyway, grab something to write with, a pen and pad. We want to make sure that if you have any questions, you don't forget. We want to make sure if you have any comments, you don't forget. Because you can engage with us here on the show, and we'll get to that in a second. But it's always good to have something to write with when you listen to a talk show like this. Again, you might want to share something with us, or you might pick something up from one of us. So we want to make sure you have that here, have that handy. And again, on the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show, everybody, why use 100 words when 1,000 words would do? So the other thing is that we have different ways for you to engage with us. One way is to call in directly. Our number here is 516-453-6094. Again, 516-453-6094. And you would just press the 1 button on your keypad and put you in the queue, and we'll bring you in as soon as we can. And in the other ways we have to engage with you is through the chat room on our Blog Talk Radio site when we're live Mondays and Wednesday nights. Or you can also hit us up on the Facebook event page, and you can use the discussion portion and write down any questions or comments as well. I've also added the phone number and the direct links on the Facebook page. How was that, Dad? I think that's everything.
Man. Yeah, man. You know, I mean, I'm done.
I don't know if it's the cold air or I'm still adjusting from coming back from Mexico, but I had to catch my breath for a second. Oh, that's a lot. But I guess when you're flowing, sometimes it just kind of comes out like that. I'll blame it on the cold air.
Okay, but I'm saying, man, you know, if that's what gets you going so smooth, then stand outside from now. You bring it, man, you bring it. So what's up with the news, man? What's going on? What's going on?
Man. There's a lot of stuff going on, a whole lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff. And you know what trips me out, man? We spend time between Wednesday and Monday, right, tossing ideas around, you know, trying to come up with some kind of agenda. Mm-hmm. And it seems that it's like too much time between Wednesday and Monday because it just never fails to happen. You know, just all of a sudden, you know, the bottom just seems to fall out of something, or I don't know what to call it, and just stuff that just we can't ignore, right? We have to give some time to just, you know, discussing, and it always seems to just, you know, you remember Etch-A-Sketch, you know, the old one?
Mm-hmm.
Where you just write on, then you
shake it up and erase it and do it again.
And it's gone.
Oh, the other one,
yeah. Well, the old one, it was just a sheet of paper. You know, this was before email and before, you know, answering machines, you know, all the rest of those, you know, new contraptions we have. This was back when you had to roll down your window in the car, you know, so, but it was just a sheet of paper you wrote on, and you wanted to write something else, you just lifted the page up. And it's like, that's what seems to happen to us, man. It's just like Etch-A-Sketch. Well, let's throw that out, and let's attend to the, you know, current events or the events of the day. So what's happening out there, man? You want to start out with something, or how do you want to roll with this?
Well, I mean, last week or so, and I know you were asking me before we got started here, I mentioned in a previous show, you know, we were past the 365-day mark of Joe Biden's administration,
right.
Joe Biden in office.
Right.
And on the previous episode, I gave a list of some things that, you know, some firsts, some things that he accomplished, because we hear so much about all the negative stuff. We miss the things that are happening. But one of the things that I mentioned in some of Biden's first year and some of the accomplishments that has been achieved, one of the accomplishments was that there are more black women appointed to the U.S. Court of Appeals than any president in over 8-year history. And so thinking about that, you know, just recently there's been a, how do we put this, some stuff is happening, let's say, as Biden mentioned that he wants to nominate a black woman for the Supreme Court. And I know there's been a lot of backlash since he's made this commitment to put a black woman in the Supreme Court. So, you know, some issues and some questions about, you know, if they're qualified and this and that. But it just, you know, and I don't know if you wanted to get into this, it goes even further back to our previous shows where you talk about dealing with a country that was made by white men. So now we have this issue of trying to put a black woman in the Supreme Court, and she's dealing with not only being black but also being a woman. And so I know that there are some things that you wanted to touch on. So you can segue right into your thoughts.
Yeah. Well, you know, not maybe so much about any particular person, but there were like six candidates I wanted to touch on.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I kind of wanted to go a little bit different direction before getting into that. And wanted to highlight the governor of Florida and his amazing agenda that has transpired. And then maybe, you know, go from there to Ted Cruz and his comments, you know, like Florida and Texas. I mean, DeSantis and Abbott. I wish DeSantis' last name was Costello, so we could have Abbott and Costello, you know. But, you know, he does a good job of impersonating Costello anyway. But it's amazing the comments Ted Cruz made.
That's Ralph Crandon. I'm sorry.
Comments that Ted Cruz made that I wanted to get into prior to talking about six, I think, of the candidates, lead candidates for the possible position being appointed to the Supreme Court, black female candidates. I think it's six. Five or six. Yes, yeah, six. But I wanted to start out with DeSantis, you know, and the rest of those Trumplicans. I tell you, man, the more I say that, the more I like it. You know, DeSantis and the rest of the Trumplicans, you know, have attacked everything imaginable and unimaginable, from diversity rights, abortion protections, free speech in schools, to a proposal, man, get this, that would legally shield white people from feeling discomfort over the state's racist past. You know, I mean, I guess what we're living in the year 2022 is what black folks must have been dealing with like in the 20s and 30s and 40s. You know, this isn't new stuff. But I think it's like new generational stuff from a political platform that has recycled some of the old Jim Crow approaches to just keeping, you know, black folk paralyzed. But the thing is, this has kind of reached, you know, epic proportions in that it started to rub a lot of white voters the wrong way, a lot of, you know, white free-thinking individuals the wrong way. And I'm not just talking about Democrats or independents. I'm talking about, you know, a Republican class that isn't a Trumplican class that, although they may have voted for Trump, still I'm talking about those people who also voted for Obama. And that's the group that people aren't really talking so much about. But I think all of these themes, especially like what Texas and what Florida have just jumped out there with, I think it's starting to bring a lot of sanity back to the foreground, you know, to the platform of politics in America and human rights. At least I want to believe that. But one other thing, regarding the COVID-19 outbreak in his state, meaning DeSantis, the governor declared, "We were right and they were wrong, and millions of families in Florida are better for it." How do you make a statement like that? Well, let me clarify where I'm coming from. As of January 2022, 812,577 Floridians have died from COVID, and the number continues to grow. And Florida, being a no-mask state, keep that in mind, you know, we're almost 4 million Floridians have been infected by the virus. Now, I don't know what value of life DeSantis places on those he governs, and I can't help but wonder how many of the families of those who have died from COVID has he reached out to, proclaiming his policies in dealing with COVID a success. You know, I mean, like, it's one thing to talk this from the pulpit and be arm's length from the people, But I have to wonder if his platform and his Trumpican supporters have ever urged him to reach out and speak to the families of those 817,577 Floridians who have died from COVID. I think a point like that gets lost, not just lost in talk scenes like what we're doing, but also in the media coverage. I mean, the media will hit on something, hard for maybe 24 or 48 hours, and then it backs off collectively and takes on another venue. You know, there's a station I watch a lot, you know, MSNBC for news, but I don't watch it all day exclusively. I stopped doing that a while back. But what got me, you know, I'm watching maybe 8, if not 9, individuals who bring their hourly show, you know, to the dais, to the television. But they all tend to talk about the same slate, maybe put a little bit of a different slant on it. And I always wondered, since they're with the same studio, you know, why don't they selectively choose various topics to cover? Or is it a rating game for them as well? You know, where they're actually, you know, in contest with each other to seek higher ratings. I'm sure ratings is what drives, you know, all the media shows, you know, because that's what, you know, what you like to say, that's what pays the bills. You know, and it's unfortunate, though, that, you know, ratings and what I mean is by ratings, I'm talking about commercials that play during the shows. It's a shame that that's what, you know, drives content, you know, not so much what the value and importance of quality human lives are and therefore the coverage that would depict it, but instead going for the bucks, you know, and needing those sponsors, you know, to support these shows and generate the capital that pays, you know, this inordinate amount of salaries. Well, I'm saying inordinate, but maybe not. Maybe it's within a competitive range. Like I just read that Rachel Maddow, you know, on MSNBC, and her show is the top-rated one. You know, she gets $30 million, just signed a contract for $30 million a year. Man, I mean, $30 million. Well, let me just ask you.
That's a lot of money.
Well, I just wanted to ask you, you know, what, I mean, I always dream about being able to one day, like go to New York and just be able to go to like the Conrad, not the Conrad Hilton, but the Ritz-Carlton, just to walk in there and just get a room and not be worried about my bank account, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of thing I dream about. But $30 million, I mean, my mind, you know, just gets on explode. It gets to a level of explosion trying to consider, what do you do with $30 million? I mean, you know, damn. Anyway, you know, so, but so I know that that's the game, and I know that's the way it's played. I remember a long time ago, back when Obama was elected the first term, hard to believe, you know, that this happened within our lifetime. But way back when he was elected, you know, maybe about 3 or 4. Now, remember what he inherited. You remember that the country was bankrupt. But, I mean, forget everything else. You know, the country was on its heel, just dying, just bleeding to death. And anyway, he pretty much, for all practical purposes, righted the wheels, although he wasn't given credit for it. People were still, you know, politicians were still saying he destroyed the economy. The economy that was already destroyed, he came in and destroyed it. You know, anyway, I'm not going to get into all that. But the point being, after about 3 or 4 months in office, the media just turned on him. And I mean, like, you know, he could do nothing right. And, you know, they're just kind of wearing out my boy. And I talked to one of my buddies, he's been on the show before, Mark Saunders. I don't know if you remember, he came on last year or the year before. I'm not sure when. I think it was last year, just when we were jumping off with the combined
last year.
Show.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I had asked him, not on the show, I just asked him, in a random conversation, what was up with that? And he said, well, Bill, you need to understand what the media does is build you up and then tear you down so they can build you up again. And it's all ratings driven. I just never thought of it being that kind of game, but since he kind of opened my eyes to that, which I'm sure all the rest of you already know, my naivete just didn't allow me to see it that way. I've just been blown away by seeing that repetitive cycle. Even with Trump, of course it wasn't backup, but Fox did everything it could, but it never tore him down. You know, so it's just an amazing thing. He's an anomaly. Trump is. I don't consider him as being anything. He's like an asterisk, a footnote, a parenthesis when it comes to government. But unfortunately, he touched a lot of people. And that's not anything like I haven't seen within my lifetime. I remember the first president I really had any awareness of was Eisenhower. And I remember that was watching TV, and at that time, back when I was a kid, I had no vote about what was being watched. It was not a democracy, and if I wanted to watch TV, then I had to watch what everybody else was watching, period, or go out. And they had on the TV, it was a Saturday morning, and they had this news thing about Eisenhower being in the hospital. And I asked my mother, what was all that about? And she said, well, they think he had a heart attack. And not really being plugged in on anything about, the presidency or politics or, justice in America, I could tell that it was a concern. So I realized this guy must be, important. he's the president, anyway, of course he recovered and all that. But I think Nixon was his vice president. And there was no real concern about, if Nixon had to taken over the presidency. But, and not going through every president since Eisenhower, I remember when Reagan came into office, and I remember his platform being, the silent majority, and it didn't take a lot of imagination to understand who he was talking about. And this cradle has been rocked with these various themes on and on. But the thing about Reagan is that he set out to appoint the first woman to the Supreme Court. And there was absolutely no issue with that. You hear what I'm saying? There was no kick, no back, what do they call it? Not kickback, whatever they, whatever those terms are that they use. But you know what it is.
I was going to say kickback.
Anyway,
it's not a kickback. No.
Yes. Whatever it is, it was none of that. It was pretty much what American politics was like back in, even back in the, 70s and 80s. It was the thing that people just weren't afraid of, but people believed in the idea. When I say people, I'm talking about, the moral majority, for lack of a better way to put it. They believed enough in the process, in due process, to not be alarmed by what history had done repetitively, since its inception back in the 1700s. So, I'm talking about their form of justice for them. It took this guy Trump to come along and kind of upset the apple cart, where people are saying, wow, this man has used the Constitution to, in essence, destroy the Constitution. There were absolutely no guidelines, no checks and no balances to prevent a president from doing what this man discovered, all the loopholes that gave him permission to do. He learned early on that he could get away with anything he chose to, because there was just enough idiots out there to support him. So anyway, saying that as I lead into or go into Ted Cruz, but did you want to jump in, man?
I'm just glad that you brought up that Reagan, decided he was going to nominate a woman and nobody had a problem with it.
Yeah.
And Trump.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And Trump did the same thing with Amy Coney Barrett, nobody had a problem with it.
The problem they had The only argument they had with her was her stance on abortion. She was anti-abortion,
right,
being Catholic.
Right. That's
so
right.
It was about
right.
that, you know, but not so much about the appointment of her as a very young, inexperienced white female. No, not at all. Go ahead, man. Sorry.
No, and right, because of her inexperience. And I'm just going to just say this, and I'll probably say it again. You know, I know they had these issues with Biden almost promising that it's going to be a black woman. You know, I mean, we know good and well, man, that any black woman who's nominated, first of all, we know is definitely qualified. And, you know, it's probably worked twice as hard, you know, to even get there in the first place. You know.
Oh,
but,
I tell you, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. I think we know, you know. I mean, we're not women, black women, but, you know, we understand the struggle, you know. Yeah, 1779, that's 1967. The U.S., the Supreme Court has been all white.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All the way to 1967.
You know, and well, not all white, because Thurgood Marshall, you know.
Up to 67, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And which I don't even want to even start thinking about him, because I'll get angry thinking about, you know, how his legacy has been just stepped on, spit on, crapped on. I almost said the other word by Uncle
Clarence.
Yeah. No, Uncle Tom S. Uncle Tom S.
Uncle Tom Ass. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I know, you know, you don't like to use Tom Ass. That's
yeah. Just I mean, man. But see, there I go. So anyway, but let me let you.
No, that was you know that you I just wanted to, you know, I'm just been reading and listening to these guys, you know, offer these challenges to Biden, like Cruz, who you're about to talk about in a second. You know, it's like, man, really. You know, and then I even think there's another senator in Mississippi who even talked about the nominee would be a beneficiary to affirmative action. They even bringing that up. You know, so it's like, man, these guys is, as they say, going
which
hard.
Got Lindsey Graham stirred, yeah, which got Lindsey Graham stirred enough to say, no, it would have nothing to do with affirmative action, you know, which then got a crazy Marjorie Taylor Greene cranked up and blasted Lindsey Graham for saying that. So, you know, I'm watching this zoo, right? But in the meantime, I was just looking because I didn't write it down because I didn't think about talking about him. And I hate to throw out the Mississippian and not throw out his name.
Oh, Roger Wicker. Wicker?
Yeah, there you go. Like
Roger,
yeah.
Roger Wicker, I believe.
Yeah. Okay, good enough, you know. You know, and watching how, again, see this thing and watching how they play ping pong with it, that's the difference. And that's the scary difference. See, because with me being, you know, a black seasoned citizen with three, you know, sons and then their families, your families, not to mention my nephews, you know, and cousins, younger cousins, you know. My fear for you all is this backlash. If white America is, if the Trumpians, let me put it that way, not white America, that's too accusatory, but if the Trumpian society are able to have their way, my great fear is that the illusion of law and order will be a return to the violence like lynchings and riots toward black communities being once again rained down upon the people. You know, and that's why I keep harping on the fact that I really want to know what black athletes are thinking, you know, and I really want to know what their attitudes will be. This is the one advantage that we have never had before, that these black athletes control so much. If they collectively ever decide, you know, to wield that arm of privilege that they have, you know, and the power that, you know, that is dictated to them, as far as reshaping or at least challenging, you know, this Trumpian platform. But I guess there's no way to know until we know, right? And I just really do, I don't understand why this has not been a theme on any of the news shows to raise a concern about the consciousness of black athletes, you know, male and female, when all of these issues, just like with, you know, Kaepernick, you know, and so forth. And, you know, anyway, you know, the themes have been consistent. And I don't think black athletes have the right to stay confined to the arena and only speak their minds about that singular approach as it affects their jobs, so to say. And I'm sure there's some, like LeBron James has been outspoken. He's big enough to where he can get away with it, you know. But by and large, you know, even things like I was watching the Bucks, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I forgot who they lost to. Who in the heck did they lose to? But anyway, and I was, you know, like a lot of the helmets have these little sayings on the back of them, you know, like end racism, peace now. I don't know if you ever noticed that, but right at the base of their helmets, on the white pad back there, is these little things written. And of course, Tom Brady on the back of his had the, you know, name of those who manufactured the helmet. I think it was Reebok or whatever. And, you know, nobody's going to say anything to him. Nobody's going to, you know, say, well, what's wrong with that, you know? Anyway, yeah, I mean, so, yeah, so anyway, let me just get out of that. If I can, let me just jump to Ted right quick. You okay with that?
Yeah, let's get on the Ted, man. Was the word, I know you were trying to think of the word earlier. Was the word backlash that you were trying to think of when you were getting the?
Yeah, that's, I don't know. Good enough. Let's just leave it at that. Yeah, there's another term they use, but we can just leave it there. That's good enough.
A listener had.
I don't want to spend a lot of time on that.
No, it's cool. It's cool. I was just letting you know. I was just acknowledging the listeners that are commenting on Facebook. So we, you know, I was just like, that's pretty cool.
Pushback. Since we're going to keep going with this. Pushback was what I was trying to think of. Yeah.
There we go.
You know, I was trying to just let that go. All right, now I got that out. You know, so I'm done with that.
All right, then. So let's go to Teddy. Yeah. Teddy Cruz.
You know, the Republican senator from Texas, right, says President Biden's pledge to nominate a black woman to the Supreme Court is offensive. Adding, if you're a white guy, tough luck. If you're a white woman, tough luck. If you're either, you don't qualify. The fact that he's willing to, and this is, I'm still quoting Cruz, the fact that he's willing, meaning President Biden, the fact that he's willing to make a promise at the outset that it must be a black woman, I got to say, that's offensive. Black women are what, 6% of the U.S. population? He's saying to the other 94% of Americans, I don't give a damn about you. You are ineligible. It's actually an insult to black women. Now, you know, that one, that's where my toes curled all the way up in my shoes, you know, made, you know, little baby fists. You know, it's, but he never explained how it's an insult to black women. You know, he just, and of course, he never alluded to if, in fact, it is an insult to black women. He never really explained how, you know, it's offensive to black women. You know, instead, he just talked about in platitudes about, you know, everybody who should be considered, and that President Biden should have approached. What he did kind of highlight was the fact that he offered how President Biden should have approached considerations by looking at a list of the other 96% first, and then checking if a black woman, you know, outshine or cuts the mustard, rather. You know, now this is America in a nutshell, the history of America and how it approaches everything is done. You touched on it a little bit just a couple minutes ago, you know, that if there is, you know, a black woman appointee, she's going to have to stand heads above the crowd in an unbelievable list of qualifications that speaks volumes in such a way that makes her average compared to her white counterpart. That's the theme of Black America in America in a nutshell. You know, and we can cite situations known and situations unknown, but always having to, you know, I remember in grammar school, I was given a handful of black accomplishments from certain individuals like Ralph Bunce or Thurgood Marshall or Marian Anderson or Jackie Robinson, of course, and a few others sprinkled in. As if that was it. That's all we've done, you know, and that's all we've contributed. And almost, you know, some in politics, you know, but mostly in the entertainment field, of course. But that was it. Other than that, all we did was slave for a living, you know, and now we're asking for equal rights. You know, it's like, I don't know if racist white America thinks that black folks just sprung up, you know, in America and didn't want to do anything but slave. You know, and then changed our minds after a couple hundred years and decided we wanted to be treated like white people. I don't know if that's what, you know, and how dare us. Why couldn't we be satisfied? That's the only thing my mind can figure out. When I read these comments by Cruz, especially this thing that he went into about not only should it be offensive to the qualified white majority, you know, but it should be an insult to the, you know, to the 6% of the U.S. population, you know, to be even used by Biden in that way. But I got to give Cruz credit for one thing, man. You know, he never used the M-word in all of his quotes. He never said minority once. If he had, I probably would have ate my hat. But he never did go there, you know. You know, okay. And he kept it pretty much a white and black thing, you know. Yeah. But here it is, man, you know. The problem with race in America. What were you going to say, Will?
No, I was just like, oh, okay. I was just acknowledging what you were saying.
Yeah. Excuse the coughing, but my mouth got dry talking about Cruz, man. You know, C-R-U-Z, you know. So, you know, let's be sure we understand his last name, C-R-U-Z. You know, but there's absolutely nothing attached to him would even suggest being a member of, you know, of a, I don't want to use a race of color. Yeah, I'll just use it that way. So that's pretty much any thoughts about this Cruz business, man? Anything you want to throw out there?
No, I mean, like I said, we already know that most if not all of these potential candidates for nomination are probably going to be highly classified in the first place because, you know, we think about what it took for them to get where they are now. So, you know, it's just one of those things. Again, it's one of those dysfunctional moments you mentioned that we know the truth, but we have to act like we don't know it until it comes up. What did you call that? Dysfunctional schizophrenia. You know, we know that.
Functional
schizophrenia, where, you know, we know that these these candidates, that these black women are qualified. But what's cool is that it's just bringing to light qualified black women to sit in the Supreme Court. You know, now we're starting to hear about these women and their accomplishments. You know, so that's a, you know, that's a good thing. That I see.
Well, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I'm just saying, I'm just that we're being knowledgeable, or we're aware that there are some possible candidates, and again, what these women may have accomplished. Were you? That was it.
I was just going to say, well, let's take a look and see if you're right. As Justice Breyer steps down. Let's take a look at the six lead candidates. Ketanji Brown Jackson, graduate from Harvard and Harvard Law School, and she's only 51. Mm-hmm. And I'm only doing this thumbnail. We can always in future shows get more into the back, which is unbelievable, the background of each of these lead candidates.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm glad you're pronouncing their names and not me. So thank you. Go ahead.
LaDondra Kruger, 45, been on the California Supreme Court since 2015, and she's only 45, so subtract, 7 from 15, so that means she was, 38? J. Michelle Childs, 55, has served as a federal trial court judge since 2010, so you take away 12 from that, and that makes her 43. Sherilyn Ifill. Now, I got to admit, I'm kind of biased by Sherilyn Ifill for a couple reasons. One, I love her name. Sherilyn Ifill, right on, baby. And she's an NAACP Legal Defense and Education Fund head, and she's been doing that since 2013. Holly Thomas, just confirmed to the largest federal appeals court last the San Francisco-based U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth District, the second black woman to ever sit on that court. And then Eunice Lee, and Holly Thomas, by the way, is 43. And then there's Eunice Lee, 51, named to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit Court and the first former federal defense attorney ever to hold that seat. These are the folks who are leading, the list of candidates. Now, I don't know. Maybe I didn't scrutinize the woman you mentioned earlier. But if you can believe, between now and Wednesday, I will, just to compare resumes. Nevertheless, I absolutely agree with you. How can anyone argue, with their accomplishments? And they're all so young, man. It's just, anyway. I agree with you. It's absolutely wonderful that whatever the foray is, whatever the back and forth is, whatever the push and pull is, the bottom line is we're learning about these candidates in ways we otherwise never would have. You can bet that, bro. Yeah, so right on to that.
Yeah.
I wanted to also – go ahead.
You were talking about comparing resumes with Amy Coney Barrett with some of these candidates.
Amy Coney Barrett. Yeah, comparing their resumes to hers, but we can do that,
we can.
If necessary in future shows.
Sure.
I did want to touch on a little sad note, though. Chelsea, Chris, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce her last name. Chesley Chris, K-R-Y-S-T, former Miss USA, has died apparently from jumping from a Manhattan apartment building. She earned an MBA and law degree and worked as an attorney prior to entering the beauty contest. She was only 30. And she provided as an attorney pro bono for those of us functional illiterates out there. Pro bono means free. She provided free legal work for inmates who were serving unjust prison sentences. Which I think, and I think you would agree with this, touches on a theme that you have talked about and campaigned for and raised consciousness around. The issue of suicides in black America, in America in general, but black America in particular, 30 years old, man. And if I remember right, I read something in another report that that she had left a photograph on a desk by the window or wherever she jumped, and it said, May she find everlasting peace, was something she handled on her photo of herself.
Yeah.
How does the living deal with that? Man? How does her family deal with that? How does the family of the family? I mean, how does the whole web, those that, man, how, man. anyway.
Yeah, that was a sad story. Sad to hear about that.
Yeah.
You know. Just thinking, you know, it's always been a concern, especially, you know, I've been talking about it so much during these last couple of years since we've been dealing with COVID, because just dealing with COVID, you know, can cause so many mental challenges and anxieties, et cetera. And then on top of that, you know, just dealing with other stuff in life. So, I mean, no telling what she was dealing with, you know, or what kind of support or lack of support. I don't know, you know, but it's always a concern, just as you're concerned about your sons and your nephews and nieces and everybody. You know, I'm always concerned about my son, you know, especially teenagers now. Teenagers dealing with their own social issues and dealing with COVID issues and dealing with just trying to figure out their own bodies, you know, and everything else in between, you know, the internet. I'm just going to say the internet, the matrix, because there's so many different, you know, layers and different stuff involved with the internet, you know, and opening that up. So it's always been a concern.
Yeah.
It's really sad to hear about this story.
Mm-hmm.
She was 30, you know.
30, and so much accomplished in such a short, young life. You know, it's just, I don't know. So on the heels of that, I wanted to acknowledge a show I want to start. Are y'all right with me talking about that briefly for the?
Yeah, I didn't think you were going to do it. Yeah, heck yeah, you can.
Should we apologize to Adam? Adam wrote, "I'm sorry, I had to take a call. I guess he had to step away." He said, "And if you gentlemen have a minute, I have a question about Lindsey Graham. It's not the call can wait to Wednesday, but an earlier comment he said." I don't have anything to say, of course. He changed that later. But earlier he said, I don't have anything to say right now. I don't have anything to say right now, but I want to press one now so I don't get any static, you know, when I tried to chime in at the 11th hour. You know, but then he waited to the 11th hour to say, you know, but I have a question. So, you know, I don't know if we, you know, want to, because let's see, it'll take me a couple of minutes just to say this right quick, or do you want to bring him in first?
No, go ahead. That's cool. We'll go ahead and follow Wednesday, Lindsey Graham. I wrote it down. Gotcha.
All right. So today is the 31st.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks from Saturday, what would that be? Would that be like the 9th? No, couldn't be the 9th.
That will be the...
the second, whatever the second week in February is.
The 12th.
Second Saturday. Okay, there we go. I want to launch a show, a one-hour show from 10 to 11. Not Write Your Own Book Club, although that will be a part of it. But it's a show on health, healing, and wellness. And I want to highlight a personal program. So the title of it is Health, Healing, and Wellness, a personal program. And in the personal program are 7 or 8 topics of discussion, not in any order, in a random process, and not saying that this is going to be the theme that will be discussed every week. It's just topics at any given time for consideration, which include prayer, meditation, reading, groups, mentoring, exercise, nutrition, and I added an eighth one. What, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? Yeah, an eighth one, service. I think, you know, that in all of what we aspire to do, so many of us, one element gets lost as far as acknowledgement is concerned, but not lost as far as intention is concerned, you know, service. you know, most of us do service for others, and we don't even recognize it within ourselves. We don't even call it that. Sometimes we call it calling, you know, or purpose, but we're not recognizing that service to others is one of the greatest things we can do, one of the greatest attributes that we have. And, you know, I used to say when I had a life and I had a program, when I was training substance abuse counselors, you know, I used to say to them, if you can't do your calling at your job, then just do your job and let it pay for your calling elsewhere. And I think in many ways the theme of health, healing, and wellness in an open forum, in a kind of like an open meeting setting for an hour on Saturday morning, you know, and looking at the elements of one's personal program and our own inventory and evaluation of where we are with these eight topics, I think maybe the open dialogue may in itself, and I didn't include one other one, sorry about that, writing.
There you go. There you go. I wrote it down, man. I got my pen and pad handy. I wrote it down. I was just waiting.
Yeah, I could have to get writing.
There
know?
You go.
But, you know, that I think in an open forum, you know, we might begin to find that there are elements of healing and wellness that that we can generate in our lives, that we can highlight in our lives, we can improve in our lives, we can, you know, we can get going. I'm trying to think of a more clinical way to put it, that we can energize in our life, although that's not even a word, that, you know, we can find a motivation to begin to, you know, get this aspect of the wholeness of the self in full gear. So anyway, that's what's going to start on the 12th from 10
All
to
right.
11.
10 to yeah. 11.
And one last thing that I think is the most important out of everything we've talked about is Kyle Rittenhouse's rifle, you know, AR-15, you know, is to be destroyed. It's going to be destroyed. Now, tell me there isn't such thing as justice in America, you know. We're going to destroy my man's rifle. Right on. You know, now I feel like there's hope for America after all. You know, I'm being facetious, right?
Of course. Of course.
Yeah. But that's all I had, man. Thank you again for letting me ramble on. You know, I appreciate it.
You know, first of all, you know that Kyle's going to continue to be the new American hero. So anything
absolutely.
You know.
I don't remember who the – go ahead.
No, I was just saying, yeah, he's just going to be this new vision of the American hero. Go ahead. You were right in the middle of something.
No, you were, and I kind of jumped in there, you know, because you reminded me of it. I forgot the senator's name. I think he's in South Carolina. He wants to bring Rittenhouse on as an intern. You know, I mean,
there it is.
So it's already started. Yeah, man, right on.
There it is.
Go ahead, on, man. Land this airplane. Apologies to Adam, but we know you're here in spirit, man. See you in the queue. You know, hold your thought, bro.
I hope you wrote it down. You know that.
I don't matter. But it had to do with Lindsey Graham.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm excited. February is coming up, and I know we talked a little bit about the young lady who passed away, and challenges of mental stresses and things, mental challenges and stress, et cetera. I even joked around on Facebook talking about the retrograde ending and things like that. So, you know, this is always an interesting time of the season for me. And Dad will definitely jump on and let you know. February has always been my kind of my coming out of hibernation. I kind of have this connection with a bear, if you will, I guess. And I'm not sure if any of you all are experiencing this, but usually coming out of the winter season, well, coming out of the new year from February on to the new change in season, this is kind of like a new a new year for Mother Earth, if you will. And there's a lot of changes that occur. I thought about this when I was even in Mexico, you know, how the tide comes in and the tide goes out. You know, the sun is up, the moon is up, the moon affects things, and the moon affects us. The sun affects us. We don't get enough sun. We're starting to get more sun now. So I was just saying about this today that I know that there is a lot of challenges, mood swings, anxiety, mental issues that we all might be going through, especially around this time. So just saying all this just to encourage you all to keep strong, you know, keep your head up. You know, February is a month for purification and cleansing. So I just hope that you just take the time to, you know, identify some of your challenges and hopefully you can come into February with, you know, an idea of purification and cleansing. I'm excited about February because I love numbers. And I think, Dad, you did a reading for me one time, and I believe my number is 2. So I'm excited about the second month in 2022, you know, so it's really cool. We got 2, 2, 2, 2 coming up, you know, all kind of twos and stuff. So,
But
the thing is, I just wanted to really emphasize that we do take time to care for ourselves, not only physically, but mentally as well. So that's all. I just wanted to share that. So this is the Greenhouse Effect, ladies and gentlemen. This is a chance to provide an opportunity to exercise critical thinking, experience a renewed self-awareness, and maybe even a deeper connection to others and their experience, especially when we share interpretations and feelings. So, ladies and gentlemen, with Dad and I are always pleading, come and share. Call us on the phone line. Hit us up in the chat room. You know, follow us on the Facebook page as well. Comment on there. Thanks, Kim. Thanks, Adam, and everybody else in the chat room. But we're here Mondays and Wednesdays, live, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. All shows are archived as well. Dad, you got anything else? It looks like you kind of already laid it out.
No, I said it.
You good? Yeah. All right.
I'm good, man. Yeah, I'm good. I just had to get that out, you know. I mean, you know, like sometimes, most times, I can just chill, but sometimes mofos just get me, you know, and I'll be all right in a minute. Yeah, but
right.
No, beautiful job, man. I'm always proud to be, you know, a part of this with you. You know, outstanding.
Always.
Love you, man.
All right, love you too, Dad. I'll talk to you Wednesday. Adam, we'll get to you Wednesday, man. We'll try to open the queue early so we can hit it up. Ladies and gentlemen, please be safe, be blessed, stay warm. It's going to be getting cold around here, so. But always mask up. All right, until Wednesday, we'll talk to you all again. Have a good night. Amen.
Amen.
I can't remember why I'm feeling this way. Yes, I should be crying, but my heart just won't obey. If you stay, you'll be happy as I lie here on the rooftop in the rain. I say. Thank you. made me who I am.